This is Owen Thompson, the Local Journalism Initiative. This interview is with Jay McCarroll. He is a Toronto-based musician who, within the last few years, recently started working on scores for full movies. His first venture into the scene was with the 2020 film Kid Detective, directed by Evan Morgan. The most recent film he has worked on is Blackberry, by director, friend, and frequent collaborator with McCarroll, Matt Johnson. Blackberry released theatrically on May 12th, 2023. During this interview, we touch upon McCarroll's work and evolution as a film score composer, touching upon his past works and future endeavors. The opening and ending music was done by the artist Post Elvis. So what goes into scoring, like, music for a film?
An answer that I have come up with for this is that I've realized in film scoring, it really, for a long time, has nothing to do with music at all. The amount of, like, puzzle solving and clarity that you need to have as just a filmmaker, or at least seeing virtually through the eyes of the filmmaker of the film, that's what it's all about. It's seeing the subtext and the opportunities to help support and push the narrative and emotional points of the movie that it's trying to do. And so there's so much thinking and puzzle solving in that part of it before you could even really think about the musical part of it. Hopefully the musical part will just find itself when you have the ultimate clarity of what needs to be done. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you mentioned that it took you a little while to kind of come to that answer. How long would you say it took you to kind of formulate that idea?
Well, I've done scoring like my whole life. Like, I studied film scoring at Berklee College of Music. I knew I wanted to get into it. I scored a couple of short films. I did a movie when I was in college, but it wasn't until The Kid Detective that I was truly given an opportunity, I'll say a responsibility, to sort of create the tapestry of sound and tone that needs to service, you know, the beginning and all the way to the end of a movie that is, like, very well made. It sort of raised the bar out of any scoring that I've done before in sort of piecemeal. So what I learned with The Kid Detective, which was pretty much the first, like, it was a real leap forward for my film scoring experience. And working on that really taught me that I can't launch into it just with putting my hands on the keys and, you know, scoring it like I'm underscoring, like, live theater or something. It requires so much thought about the movie itself and what the goals are with it thematically and what every scene is trying to do. And every scene, every cue you make is a load-bearing piece to the cue before and after it. So you're really building a house of cards that needs to stand up over the whole film.
So you just mentioned there that your original scoring was for, like, short films. From your first short film to Kid Detective, what's been, like, the biggest change for you?
Well, yeah, the responsibility certainly went up when you're given a film that is really good. Like, The Kid Detective was a really great film. Like, there was so much consideration. It was a 7-year project for the director, Evan Morgan, and you know, when something is written so well and you're being asked to make a score for that, there's so much more consideration that you need to put into it. Whereas all the other things that I've done leading up to this, I think have been sort of standalone things where the mission objective is pretty simple with what I need to do with music support. I've done a few documentaries or some short films that, you know, it's pretty straightforward and a little more open-ended with what you could deliver as music. And perhaps, too, it was an age thing, you know, when you're a little younger, maybe a director isn't telling you so heavily what it is specifically that they want, but certainly stepping into the job of the kid detective was the first time I was dealing with the work that was very considered and a vision that was very considered. And so it just took a lot more thought. It was a real leap forward.
You said that it was like a 7-year process for the director. At what point did you get involved with Kid Detective?
Well, I knew Evan for years, and I knew that he was writing the Kid Detective, and I was in his ear about it for a while. This is a lesson to the up-and-comers out there. I planted the seed with Evan, and I said, hey, this movie you're making sounds right up my alley. It's got that sort of dark, idiosyncratic comedy, but also something darkly beautiful about it. I knew the story. I knew kind of what he was going for when he told me about what his film was going to be about. And he was just locked in his room writing this for so long. By the time it came to the point where he was making it, and I was trying to say, like, hey, so what are you doing for the music? I knew that I was underqualified, even with all my experience with like doing short films or documentaries. Like I'd never done a full feature score where you really need to map the whole score to the movie, and there's lots of score involved. That's such a bigger project, and I'd never done anything like that before. I needed to really convince him to take a chance on me, so I was kind of relentless with my poking at him. And I was very open to sending him samples. I said, hey, send me a little scene. Let me do a sample for you. Like, let me earn it, you know? And their process was that they had to, he was dealing with, like, you know, real producers, and there was a lot of money involved, and there was a lot of decision making by committee in certain situations like this, where they were saying, you know, we might want to get some real deal LA composer to do this. We'll be honest with you. And I said, okay, fine. But let me send you some samples so that you could choose between, like, so they did a nice thing where they were like auditioning other composers. And I'll maybe check in with Evan to see if he'll tell me or show me what the other stuff was. But I do know that he listened to a lot of samples, and he went with the one that he felt strongest about, which was mine, just because I was passionate about it. And I wasn't lying when I said it was up my alley, and I sent him all these samples, and he liked it, and so I earned the job.
You mentioned that it wasn't really, or you were a little underqualified for this job because it's such a big production. When you got it and you were working on it, what was going through your head?
I was freaking out. Like, I've heard this, I've listened to other, you know, film scoring greats do their little roundtable talks and interviews, and you know, it's a very small club of film composers that have really made a name for themselves in the movie world. And, you know, typically when you hear them talk about the job, you know, unfortunately, you can't really escape that it is a very difficult job to take on. It's really crazy time constraints, and sometimes it's not so easy what your path forward is. It's different every time you work with a director and how much they're going to be helpful. Once I did have the job, it was scary because I was then, and it was a slow start. Like, as soon as we knew, Evan and I, the director, we got into it and we started to make these first attempts, and I would send him, you know, we'd start with like a few of the first scenes that really establish some of the tonal sound and what we're going to try to go for. And we just went through so many back and forths. Like, I wanted to offer him as much time and effort as I possibly could. And so there was no talk about, you know, how many revisions I would allow myself to do for him or anything like that. Like, it was, we're going to do this until we get it right. And I kept coming, like, everything that I sent, and this is why I'll bring it back to what I said about how film scoring isn't really about music, because in my first days there, I was sending things and I was making sure that everything sounded good, you know, and had like a little edge to it. And I would send, you know, the same cue over and over again, different ways. And it always sounded good. And I remember when I was on like a revision 10 or something, because he kept wanting to hear something and he was trying to articulate to me why the cue was falling short. And we kept, you know, shopping around different adjectives and talking about, you know, perspective, where the score is coming from, how dark and how gloomy it is, how dreadful it should be, how idiosyncratic it should be, with a touch of this and touch of that and a dash of this. He also said, you know, everything you're sending, Jay, like, it sounds good. And so it took out of my mind the pressure of needing to sound good. Like, I don't need to feel nervous about it being good music. And really, for the most part, a director might not admit this, but it doesn't matter how good your music sounds. What matters is that the music is doing what it's supposed to do for the movie. Obviously, you know, once you get that right, you have the opportunity to clean up and polish your music so it sounds good. But really, it's not a goal about making good sounding music. It's about hitting the mark. And as soon as I started putting 100% effort into making sure that it's doing what it's doing, it was like I was making a sculpture, not even looking at it, but just looking at the director as he's telling me. It's like, yeah, it's got to be a little more like this and a little more like that, but it's got to be a little bit like this, but not too much of this. And they're very specific sometimes. And so getting that right was fun. And it took a long time. And I was freaking out. And that was what was going through my head. And it wasn't until I sent something that was, I think as soon as we started to really establish and orbit around the tone, once you get that head start, then everything becomes easier. And you're revolving around this new universe of palette that you create, and then it gets easier. But the beginning of every film score is very difficult.
Once you finished the score and it was all out and said and done, where were you, I guess, like in terms of your skills?
Much better. I had to really force myself through. The other thing was, like, you know, with Kid Detective, it had all this temp music in it, and I'm sure everyone knows what temp is, but that's when, you know, they have the edit of the movie done and it has music in it, but it's not original, and they were using like anything from like Henry Mancini to John Bryan, and really setting a high bar for what they wanted things to sound like. And, you know, I had to, in a very quick amount of time, figure out how to make some of this orchestral music have that kind of romanticized vintage glow to it and make it sound real. And I did that through a process of just a lot of trial and error of mixing and what sort of arrangement I was doing. And then at the end of the day, seeing what sort of instruments poked out and overdubbing some real instruments on top to create a little bit of a hybrid of real and fake. And then when you play it all together, it kind of sounds just real. There were a lot of things that and a lot of puzzles that come along in any film that you got to sort of forge ahead and squeeze through. And it's usually in those times that you're squeezing that you're learning something really quickly, and it's like a new skill. So yeah, every film you pretty much gain a lot of new skills.
So before we move on to your most recent composition, I just want to clarify exactly what you've worked on and composed on. IMDb, as great as it is, can get it wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
So with your most recent composition on the film Blackberry, you were working with a longtime collaborator and friend, Matt Johnson. So IMDb has you listed working on or composing on his other two films as well, The Dirties and Operation Avalanche.
Yes. Now, the reason why those were such different efforts was because The Dirties, I'll talk about first, only had two cues that I needed to write for, or something like that. And it was very simple because he knew specifically exactly what he wanted for these cues. And the rest of the movie was a lot of needle drops from other things. Like, there was a real meta element to that. It was a movie that was sort of in a meta way made by the character. And so everything kind of needed to sound like it was sourced by his in a sort of fandom way, a real movie fandom type of thing. And so it was easy to kind of just provide him, hey, something like this, something like that. And Operation Avalanche was a little more, but still not a movie that needed score top to bottom. It's when you score something top to bottom that you have the responsibility and the challenge of creating this gradient and roller coaster ride that kind of perfectly counterpoints or just parallels with the subtext of the film. Like there's a lot to be considered there. In Operation Avalanche, there was just moments where he knew he wanted score. And so what we did was sort of think about some of these tones that he knew he was going to need in the edit. And we got together with a jazz band and I had them over at my place. We set up the microphones, and I just conducted them to kind of do some free form stuff. And I would sing out lines, direct some moods and some tones, and let them kind of free form, just play some like kind of vintage Miles Davis jazz stuff that at times we boiled down and refined down to some simple, almost just underscoring, you know, a jazz band doing something very simple, like holding a note or something like that, or a trumpet line doing something very simple. Basically just providing some ingredients for Matt in the edit to then place the music himself. So I wasn't doing any scoring to picture on that. I wasn't, you know, looking at, you know, a scene and being like, okay, well, here's where I need a music to go here, and then I'm going to drop it down for this, and then his hand raises up here, and I'm going to sync that with a little thing. I wasn't doing any of that. And that normally is also what a big challenge is with film scoring. That effort, those two movies were a lot different than Blackberry, which was a lot more music involved.
When you just, like, when you talked about that jazz band coming over, that There seemed to be a lot more, I would say, collaboration in regards from Operation Avalanche to Kid Detective. With Kid Detective, were you collaborating at all with any other people, or was that just kind of you, like, in a room, just kind of putting everything together?
Kid Detective was just me. I remember having a great addition to that score is I had Anne Fung, this flautist, come over and overdub the flute that I had written. But she is super talented and just sort of like, and the score seemed to allow and give permission to something like a flute doing this kind of old school romanticized classy Henry Mancini, like, I guess you can call it jazz, but she really embellished these parts, and you can hear all these like flourishes throughout the score through some of the cues. And that was some fun collaboration, allowing her to sort of improvise a little bit. But other than that, it was pretty, all these scores end up just being me on the, just glued to my computer screen.
All right. And so, yeah, this all leads up to your most recent film, which I believe is still in theaters, Blackberry, about the history and rise and fall of BlackBerry. How did you get involved with this project?
Well, since our TV show, Nirvana the Band, the show, thank you. You're going to put in applause, right? we have really refined our sort of Zapruder gang to be a real fine-tuned machine where, you know, we kind of have gotten pretty good at getting behind, you know, a quote-unquote Matt Johnson project and really giving it a team effort from the very beginning stages all the way to the end. Everyone is kind of really blurred lines with what their title is. And there's a small group of people that just has a bit of an open forum on sending in their notes and their ideas and collaboration on everything. So I know that Matt Johnson and Matt Miller, at one point, one of their many endeavors had them license the rights to write the script based on this book about called Losing the Signal, and they were going to make it about they were going to just write the script, and that was their full goal, was to, like, you know, write the BlackBerry movie, hopefully, and just sell it and have somebody else make it. And it just so happened in crazy Hollywood land, as things move forward, sometimes the strangest green lights turn on. And next thing you know, there was the support and sort of gusto to have Matt Johnson direct it and for Zapruder to produce it. So all of a sudden, we were all kind of working on it together. And I was working on the script with them for months as they would bring me new, you know, versions of the script. And we'd break story together. We would talk about casting. We would talk about locations and what we wanted the whole movie to be about and to feel like. And by the time we were doing it, we were all on set together. You know, Jared, our cinematographer, he's involved in things way beyond the camera. Our production designer, Adam Belanger, he's at the monitors watching takes with us and giving notes. And it's a really wonderful process with a little band, pretty much, where everyone's sort of sending their ideas up the chain. And ultimately, Matt being having a very clear vision of how he wants to ultimately take these ideas and whittle it down and filter it through to become his one voice is the sort of final secret weapon of this. And so when it came to scoring this movie, I had a head start, because even after the first week of being on set, I kind of knew it was the final piece I needed to kind of see to really understand tonally what was happening. There's always two, like, hey, what are we going for? What's our vision? And then what did we get? What are the actors doing? What does it look like? And so finally, when I was able to see what it looked like and sort of how, you know, close we were to the mark of our vision, which was very close, I got to go home and just start right away. And I started to just make first passes at just some demos and some sounds and some sound effects and feelings. And I'd bring it back to Hamilton, where we were staying, and we would watch dailies, and I would put on a stereo and put on these demos, and we'd watch the dailies of the day's shoot and sort of just start getting a feel for it. And everyone kind of just started to get their feet wet with what this could end up feeling like.
How is being involved in, like, the process like that? How does that help you kind of score the film?
Well, as I say, scoring is not so much about music. It's more about filmmaking. You have to have your filmmaking hat on tight, much more than your musician hat on, to do a good job. Like, if you're a better filmmaker than you are a musician, you're going to have a much easier time in film scoring land. You know, having worked with Matt Johnson for so many years now, I've sort of gone through a bit of a school, I would say. Like, I've always loved film, and I have my own skills that I've developed based on my own tastes for it. But for the most part, like, I've learned so much through working with Zapruder. And so it certainly helped to speak film. And I'm not in there as a musician, like, for the most part of that process. It wasn't until the end, when we were done and we were in the edit, that I even kind of put on my film composer hat. I was an executive producer, meaning essentially just that I was helping make the film on any sort of departmental level for months and months and months. And having that experience certainly equips you with being able to answer your own questions when you're making the film score.
You brought up a little earlier regarding kind of film scoring as kind of being alone in a room.
Yeah.
Did that have any, like, negative effects on you? Like, how does sitting in a room just kind of working on this music affect you?
I would say it does affect me. Like, it's tough. I've had real low moments of, you know, especially when things are difficult and you're under a timeline and you're not making good time and you're not churning out the killer ideas, and and you don't have any help. I would say that I'm in the position right now, or the level where I'd like to look ahead and probably say, you know what, hopefully my next film, I'm going to want some help. Maybe make a call out to some students and see who wants to get some film scoring experience. And, you know, just have somebody else, if anything, just be around to share the burden of just what the massive goal is. Every film score feels like a big mountain to climb because it's very difficult. And it would probably help to have somebody else be in there just as a... that's somebody to maybe say like, oh yeah, that sounds like you're on the right track. That sounds like you're kind of getting further from the mission here. And also with just the amount of technical file management and, you know, sessions that are get very messy and templates that are ever changing. I could certainly see how a more higher level film composer can make his life or her life very much easier. But I think you need to figure out on your own if you can do it all first so that you can really understand it. And without that, you wouldn't be able to really properly manage and lead a team of people. It'll help to have the experience of taking the whole burden on yourself.
Composing is, as you said, is a bit of a lonely experience. Were there any moments while scoring either Kid Detective or Blackberry that were like very victorious and very like fulfilling for you?
Oh, definitely. Going back to Kid Detective, it was very difficult in the beginning. It was hard to convince the director to approve certain directions. Like it was hard to get started. Like there was a thing that he definitely didn't want the movie to sound too quote unquote detective-y. But at the same time, he wanted to sort of pay homage to the detective genre in a sense, but he wanted it to have a little more of an idiosyncratic, quirky feel of a modern art house movie or something like that. And I remember sending these things along and I was really tearing my hair out. And I remember writing, and I wrote it in my head as opposed to a keyboard. I think it was in the shower or something, as good ideas come to you in the shower. And I had this little theme, this line from a trombone or something, went do ba boom ba boom boom, this little 5/4 thing. And I was like, this sounds so fun. I love it on all levels, and I think it nails what he wants. And so I put together this demo, and I arranged the parts really quickly, and I layered it all together, and it sounded cool. And I was like, this is it. Come on, this is the sound. And I sent it to him, and he called me back right away. And he said, it's still not quite it. I can't really put my finger on it, but it's not quite it. Talk about I'll get to the victory, but talk about a moment of complete despair, because that was when I was like, oh no, if my feeling of this being awesome isn't matching with his, what he thinks is awesome, our tastes are off. And now I'm going to have to really work blind here. And it was really discouraging. And the next day, he called me back and he said, I don't know what the hell I was talking about. This is perfect. I love it. It's completely changed the way I'm thinking about the opening. I'm recutting a few things to match to it. It's perfect. It's perfect. I'm thrilled about it. I mean, those sort of conversations and that sort of feedback is very rare from a director in my experience. And from then on that movie, all of a sudden I had so much more slack when it came to writing things, not to mention the new sort of invisible torch that we are all sort of racing towards. And so that was such a victorious turning point in making that score, and everything got easier after that.
That's really amazing to hear. Like, I guess you really don't hear about directors. How late in the process was the film at that point?
They got me working on it on a pretty decent rough cut. Not as early as an assembly, but they had got it together. It didn't really change that much. There were some cut scenes, and obviously it tightened up quite a bit. Yeah, it was looking at a nice film at that time.
You kind of brought this up a little about the shower and everything, you know, thinking that it's awesome. I guess working on these, I guess, full film compositions, has it been humbling at all?
Oh my God, yes. I have so much respect for the other film composers out there that are able to do this at a high output level. It's something that I see the road ahead of me to be able to become, but it's something that has been, in a really great way, a great challenge. Squeeze through all these films and emerge, you know what I mean, bloody and bashed. It's certainly humbling. And also very fortunate to work as of late with such great material. It feels like what you're doing is trying your very best to match the level of quality that the film is presenting, even without the music. And so the last thing you want to do is to have the music deteriorate the overall sense of quality that the movie is projecting. And so that becomes a challenge too, that I'm very humbled towards.
So just to kind of go back to Blackberry a little bit, seeing it as your more recent composition, you kind of brought up that it's like, you know, quote unquote, like a Matt Johnson feature, but it seems like there is like a lot of the DNA of the people behind your show, Nirvana, the band, the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nobody will deny, like it is, I don't want to, you know, say the wrong thing, like quote unquote Matt Johnson. It is absolutely, like, everyone on our team knows that our fearless quarterback of this operation is Matt Johnson, and how he's able to, you know, conduct this team and turn all the ideas and filter them in a way that becomes ultimately his voice. But yes, there's so much spillover. He invites so much collaboration. There's so much writing. There's so many jokes and sequences. The way things look, the way, you know, even notes towards the actors, you know what I mean? He was the only director on that was talking to any actor, but he would still come to the monitors and we would secretly discuss, like, how we're thinking, you know, these actors are delivering, and we'd have some good ideas. And in the edit, Kurt Laub, has been, you know, the auteur behind the auteur. The amount of careful and hilarious and really crafted editing that everyone who knows a Matt Johnson project knows, the editing and pace becomes a voice in and of itself. It makes jokes. Like, that's what makes our stuff funny, is the edit. It's all about timing and what you are seeing and when. And it's something that Matt has complete control over, and he's aware of everything that's going on. And ultimately, I don't think anybody can do it better. But Kurt Laub is putting this whole thing together. He's just as instrumental in creating the voice of this as Matt is. It's such a collaboration. And that's why we plan to keep working together on all this stuff.
Keeping on that kind of track of working on this stuff, what was the hardest piece of music you had to compose for Blackberry? Was there like a scene where you just couldn't get it right, or something just wasn't clicking for you?
Overall, there were a lot of, like, the general challenge of making the Blackberry score fit in was a little bit of a mixing issue, because a lot of the score is very, like, frantic, and there are these phone sounds in it and almost like alarm beeps, and it's dissonant and tense, and it's happening over a film that is very dense in its filmmaking. There's a lot of dialogue. Oftentimes, you know, mixing in the music underneath to at once support but also never pull focus is a challenge, especially with the fabric of the sound that we wanted for this. So that was an overall challenge. I remember one scene in it where Jay Baruchel's character, Mike, who plays Mike Lazaridis, he's on the phone in the office near the beginning of the movie where the rest of his office workers are playing Doom and hanging out, and he's getting this bad news in the office, and he's in a closet, and he's looking out at his office playing video games, and there's this dark, ominous scene that happens. And I remember I wanted it to sound like a hybrid between like diegetically hearing Doom like music, but also have it sort of in fidelity get a little fuller as his own, as the story starts to sort of drop some new darkness and some ominous bad news, and have it sort of feel like in between score and kind of just like quirky Doom music. And I worked on that with Matt Johnson a bit, like where I was sending him stuff and he knew what I was going for, and so he was a good barometer of like how close I was getting to that. And we went through it a few times until finally, and it's fun, it's like you get to that point where it's like, well, I don't know what to do anymore, like I feel like, did we do it here? And he, much like the character of Mike Lazaridis, just like, you know, good enough is the enemy of humanity. And I was like, oh man, do I have to hit the drawing board again for this moment? And thank God, because that last one that I did is one of my favorite cues, and it really does what we set out to do. It just took relentlessly sticking to it and making sure that it was perfect.
All right, so that's almost all my questions. I just have one more kind of general question, which is, what has been your favorite piece of music to compose, whether that be from any project? It could be a film, web series, short film. Has been your favorite?
I would say the opening cue of Kid Detective, and that's the one that I talked about that ended up being the victorious, like, okay, you got it, because it was that little engine that could, like, when I wrote it, I knew it was good, and when I was told it wasn't good enough at first, I was like, the universe is wrong, it has to be. And getting that phone call back saying, hey, I was wrong, this is great, was a type of validation that sort of warmed my heart. And I just love how it turned out. It's such a big, romantic, fun, quirky, and funny song that employs a lot of musicality and modulations and movements that I had never really done before in composition. And so I'm very proud of it.
All right. Do you have any final comments you want to leave off on?
If there are any young film composer wannabes at school that feel like they'd be a good assistant to a professional film composer like me, hit me up on Instagram at Jay McCarroll, because I'm going to need some help on my next one. That's what I'm determined to do. I want to build a team.